The Gaming Grunts present a Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition campaign, Storm King's Thunder.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 31 of Storm King's Thunder, brought to you by the Gaming Grunts.
Wow. The prime number.
Last episode, our intrepid adventurers accomplished absolutely nothing whatsoever. They ended exactly where they started. But seriously, they did a little bit more exploration, not of new areas, but in person. They dimension doored, a couple of them dimension doored over to the castle and invisibly roamed around a bit. And or no, not invisibly. I can't remember now. Were you guys invisible?
Just,
no, you
aren't. Quietly.
Just quietly. You were snooping. You were sneaky. Sneaky, sneaky.
Although clearly not that quietly since you got caught.
Well, somebody else was invisible that we didn't know about. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. Yes. Do you think maybe that was a good idea and we should try that?
You're asking the bard. Good ideas, that is vocabulary.
They met some invisible foes, and since it was only the two of them, decided to dimension door the heck out of there. Afterwards, they decided to send their arcane eye back in to do some additional investigation. And that is basically where we left them. Preparing to send in the arcane eye. Did you guys actually send in the arcane eye, or did you?
Yeah. So this is my question: is we sent it in and basically went back down.
Yeah. So you're down to the hallway down here.
It effectively, like you said, we did nothing because the previous episode we left off with the arcane eye in that hallway. And then we decided, okay, let's bring it back or whatever, and then we'll go in. And we did all that same thing so that this episode, the last episode ended with the arcane eye in the
exactly where it was.
So, yeah, it was literally a giant no-op episode other than, you know, me getting, you know, smackdown right before the...
Well, you now know that there is something there. So that's something.
Yeah.
Maybe not much, but it's something.
I don't know. I'm wondering if you look through the... Let me switch over to my map view. I'm going to peek on the second floor of the tower right next to where our characters are. I am almost tempted to say, you know, if I can look through that window and see the spot right around the center, if I can get within 150 feet of that, you know, that's fireball range, but it might not be the best way to knock on their door.
Yeah, that would attract attention, I imagine. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? So sure. So having said all that, you are now in this little hallway, or your arcane eye is in this little hallway. Where would you like to take it, Bala? I'm sorry, Toph?
Can Akador or can one of you guys move? Like, I'm almost reached home, so I couldn't able to see.
Well, that's right. We have an eyeball now. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I can potentially direct the eye. I would say we haven't gone. I know we said that behind that door, we think it's out to that landing.
There's just proximity wise within the.
Yeah, so yeah. I would say send it north, assuming that's north to the top.
Mm-hmm. So going further into the center. Yeah. Or the center.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So you're going to go through to the other side of the door, And
And we did say that the eye is invisible, so nobody can see the eye. Is that
correct?
And it can fit through a gap as small as like 1 inch or something.
Through normal non-magical means, at least they cannot see the eye.
Right. I'm assuming if somebody had like true sight or, you know, something like see invisibility or any of that stuff, then.
I believe that's correct. I can confirm that. Yeah, it's simply invisible.
Okay.
So yeah, anything that could see anything invisible will be able to see it.
Okay. Well,
that's interesting. I didn't even think about that. I should. Okay, never mind.
Cool. So for the sake of the party, I'm going to assume Toph is telepathically linked to me while I'm playing this role, and whatever Toph sees through the eye, she's going to telepathically relay to me, and then I'm going to tell the party. So, John, if you want to describe what the eye sees, you can cut out the middleman.
This is a lounge of some sort. It is an opulently appointed chamber. There is a 5 foot tall table of varnished wood in the middle of the room. There are several items on top. There is a giant sized hookah, a blue crystal decanter filled with what looks like wine of some sort, and a wooden plate covered with a mountain of figs, very large figs. Blue crystal flute glasses are stored on shelves on either side of the door that lead to the what in this map appears to be west. And two padded chairs covered in what appear to be Yeti hide with blue dyed sheet. The seat cushions are turned to face the table. Now, the chairs flank a marble fireplace carved with the images of birds. Above the mantelpiece is a stuffed and mounted Aarakocra with blue plumage. That is what you see.
Is the fireplace lit?
No.
Okay. Anybody in the party have a thought on which way to go next? If not, I will peek through the western door.
Oh, I was muted. It's all going to be a crapshoot either way, so might as well just choose whichever door.
Which did you want to do?
Let's go through the west door.
The western door.
Yeah, originally I thought maybe since this is a round ish tower that I should just go west from the other hallway and make like a big circle around, assuming I could. But then I was like, you know, that would be the logical thing to do. And
I'm a bard.
But technically this is really Toph controlling the eye, so you know, I'm a little bit torn, but
you zip in through the cracks between the door and the jamb, and you see this is a library. There are many tomes of books on the shelves around the place. They are giant-sized books. A large wooden table, it's laid carved to look like a rearing pegasi, dominates the room. An ornate bronze lantern hanging above the table is illuminating the room.
And I don't see what looks like any exits from this room, right?
You do not. There is a like a little window.
So it looks like an arrow slit type window.
Yeah, it certainly can be used as such.
Is there anything we can see from outside that window? I'm assuming it's just like one of the external windows out to...
Yeah, it's just the external windows out, and there's... are you going to move over there and look through, or...?
I mean, I'm assuming that the eye can see across the room and out the window, and... But...
Yeah,
If it looks like it's just...
I mean, just across the room and looking out, you just see, like, you know...
Sky.
Cloud sky. Right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't need to get any closer or anything. So, okay. Yeah, let's duck back into the center room and head north.
All righty.
Again, if anybody has any objections, but we've only got one other choice of directions, if not north.
This is just another hallway that leads to what appears to be the other side of the tower.
Okay. Can I peek underneath the northern door just to see if it leads outside, kind of like we did to the southern door? So I know that one went out to like a courtyard.
Yeah. You want to actually zip through it? And just on the side?
Yeah, just go up underneath it enough just to see if there's like a courtyard on the opposite side, like the...
Oh yeah, there's definitely a courtyard of some sort back out there. Give you a little bit of a teaser.
Yeah. I don't want to go outside yet because we can do that from the ship if we need to, or if we decide where we're going to go. So western door again. How about hallway?
Western door. Slide under the door.
Because this eye can be detected, right? As long as they have some way to see invisible.
Yeah, anything that can detect invisibility would be able to detect the eye, yes.
Yeah.
That is correct.
But it's also pretty small, so I'd like to think that, you know, it's not bumping into stuff or doing anything that's making a lot of noise.
Right, yeah. It's not going to be, like, blatantly obvious. Right. Yeah.
That's cool. Can we observe if anything spot the eye? I mean, do they notice or something?
I mean, we haven't seen anybody yet.
Yeah,
right?
at this point, you haven't seen any
no creatures. Okay.
Once we see that, once we see anything, I want to try that.
Well, now you have. however, this is a nursery. There are two cribs, a couple of wall shelves with large stuffed toys perched precariously atop them. And in each one of the two cribs is a child. a very, very large child. If you call a 6.5-foot, 250-pound
baby
humanoid a child, that is what they are. They are sleeping, a boy and a girl.
Okay. We'll let them sleep, duck back under the door, and head through the east door.
Never wake a sleeping child. That is
not this time, at least.
Yeah. That is generally a good rule of thumb. Shoot. All right. This appears to be a playroom of some sort. There are just covered. The floor is covered in toys, balls, blocks, dolls, stuffed animals. There is a stuffed Yeti mounted on a wooden base that stands in the corner by the door. Does not appear to be really a toy. It just appears to be decor.
That's a giant Yeti. 20 feet short span.
And the room stops.
I don't know how big D&D Yetis are, but whoo boy.
The room pretty much stops at the reveal there, John.
I'm sorry?
The room stops.
Oh, yeah. Reveal. You know, I'll give you a little bit more of the wall there.
No, that's fine. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just trying to look at the map to see where we've traveled. So if there's nothing. So I want to ask something kind of out of character. Just there's two tokens that are on the map. And I don't know if that's intentional.
Those are your two, right? Oh, no. On this one. Oh. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if there's something in there that the, are those the baby in the?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They were just in the wrong place.
Those are the kids.
Okay. So there's nothing in here that we see that looks creature-ish.
Correct.
I want to take the eye out that window or over to that window.
Okay.
And look outside.
Do ya?
Unless, right. And let's toss back to object. And I just want to peer out the window, see what the eye can see. Because I feel like there's something here that's not here.
Well, if you just cross-reference, like, the spiral staircase here comes out on this landing, right? So that door enters into that area that we haven't been to.
That's probably a little more than you can actually see.
Yeah, we're not entirely sure if that's the case, but I'm kind of making a assumption that if there is space in this big roundness that seems like there should be something underneath it, there may be some other way in.
Mm.
I'm not entirely sure, but I want to go out the window here and just skirt this wall.
And just skirt that wall.
So, just to this corner so I can see around
the corner. So to give you at least thus far, a healthy grass lawn covers this rooftop, which there's a 10-foot high battlements on the far side, much like, you know, up at the top. There are Aarakocra positioned similarly as they are up above. And half of them they are alternately facing facing inward versus outward. And there is off to the left a fountain with a spout shaped like a silver dragon bound in chains. And it feeds water to a 40-foot diameter pool. Fruit grow in a few places. A pumpkin patch dominates one large area. The pumpkins, these are gigantic pumpkins. You figure they probably weigh a couple hundred pounds a piece.
I was measuring them. 15 feet tall is that top one.
Wow.
That would be a little bit more than a couple hundred pounds.
Yeah, as the eye goes out the window, I want to pause just right outside. I mean, obviously to look to see if like any of the Aarakocra look like they see movement or anything. I don't expect that they would see the eye, but
make a perception check for me.
Okay. Yeah, as the eye or as me?
Actually, this would be a tough perception check.
I'm back. Yeah.
Can you do that, Toph?
Perception.
Yeah,
I can.
Well, if you're back, then you can take control of the eye. Then
we sent the. You don't notice any reaction from the Aarakocra. They seem to just be continuing to watch. They're in there in a normal watcher manner thing.
Okay.
So
let me do a handoff to Toph since you're back, Bala. The eye is, I'm going to ping the map right here at this little window. You see that?
Yeah, I see that now. Yeah.
Yeah, my plan was to skirt around this wall just to the right, to this corner, to see what's like over in this area. If you want to continue with that, that's fine. If you have different plans, then the eye is yours.
Okay, yeah. I'll do the circle, like right first, like just one direction. So,
all right. Let's see. So you come around the corner. And you see another Arakocra basically doing the same thing as all the others are doing, looking around. Do you want to move along the wall, or do you want to just move back along, or along the battlements, or move back along the wall of the tower?
I'll move along here to see if there are any windows. I can go inside the window.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was gonna look for until you got back. But
around. So you're gonna continue around clockwise around the outside of the. Got it. Okay. You come around the edge here.
There's too much occluded math for a bard to not go, what's there?
Yeah. So I mean you see there's additional it continues to go around. You move around, there's a window in there somewhere. You can see that. You continue moving around.
Go inside that one to see what's inside there.
Go inside? All right.
Yeah, go inside. Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. Okay. Something I never noticed about this.
By the way, I assume we are still moving, right? Like in the spaceship? Or like are we?
Yeah, you guys are in the airship, yeah.
But like, is the airship moving away from the towers, or like, are we hovering right now?
I would assume you're stationary in the clouds. Okay. What I was assuming.
Yeah, the plan was originally to get some distance and then leave after we finished exploring with the eye.
Okay, makes sense. Okay.
So in this room, cut into the floor of the center cut into the floor in one corner of the room, there appear to be six holes, each big enough for a small humanoid could squeeze through it. Next to it is a glass vat holding 30 gallons of some roiling kind of greenish liquid. And in this room is also a cloud giant, as you can see in the upper left-hand corner.
No baby.
Yeah, obviously there is a table in the center, and there are there are six large flasks also containing a similar liquid.
Can I? Is there any way like I could? Would I know like what those liquid might be? Like, I mean, does it look like an acid or like a magical potion or something?
Make an investigation check for me.
Oh, minus one for me. Let's see.
Well, and yeah, and because you're remote, you're not entirely sure. Based on context, you feel as though this could be something defense oriented. So it could be, okay, you know, some kind of flammable liquid. It could be acid. It could be, you know, something that has some other, like, you know, it doesn't look like, you know, alchemist fire or anything like that. But, I mean, it's looks like some kind of a maybe defensive mechanism.
Okay. So yeah, I think I'm just gonna come back out and do the same clockwise thing to figure out if there are any other windows or something, and then just go inside that one again.
Okay.
So which means like I'm just gonna again like do the same like here.
Yeah. First,
like, you know, like this way.
All right, continue, and
take a peek. Do I see anything over here, like in this area? Like,
wait a second. This... All right. As you're coming around the corner, this is what you see. There are, get to that. Again, it's the same sort of, lush green lawn as the other side. There are trees, various places. You see piles of rocks here and there. Looks like there's a hedgerow that divides this portion of the yard from the other side of the yard. And on this side in the center here is a black and white marble chessboard. Chess pieces are all human size and look like decorative suits of armor. Their helms sporting designs that differentiate them. For example, the king and queen wear crowns for helms. Knights have helms resembling griffins' heads. Pawns, rooks, bishops, knights, kings, they're all present. There's 30 of them in all.
I don't notice any Arakocra gods around here, is it? Like, or...
No, actually, you don't. You don't see any Arakocra here.
So I think that's one possible entry point. Again, same wrap up with the
new salt. Yeah.
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 And just for fun, like, oops, can the eye look into the binoculars and can it see anything?
The telescopes?
yeah, the telescopes.
It can look through one of them. If they were binoculars.
If they were binoculars, yeah, you'd only be able to see one of them. Yeah, you want to float over to the telescope? Sure. It is a very powerful telescope, and you can look out, and you can the way it's oriented right now, all you really see is sky and clouds. But it looks like it's on a, you know, it's able to be pivoted and directed if you had hands.
Yeah, we need an arcane eye and an arcane hand spell so that we can position.
Yeah, that's right.
I do have a what's my spell? My magic hand.
Mage hand.
Mage hand. Yeah, it's close to magic hand. Yeah, unfortunately, I couldn't cast a mage hand and have it wander around with you, but it wouldn't last nearly as long. And I think
and
it can't be
this
so far away
over
from
here. This over here appears to be some sort of a greenhouse.
Is there any opening that I could go into the greenhouse? Like, what's inside the house, or is just a glass house kind of thing?
There is that yellow part is a door.
I was gonna say it's also in the handout. You can see it on the Linar Mall.
Oh, sure, that makes sense.
This one is okay. Architect. No, that's Tybar. Lynn. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Oops, I'm on the wrong.
It's a glass house. So, does this conclude? Did we explore everything? Right? Like, I believe this is the last one. Oh, there is a room over here or something. Can I get into this
room?
Yeah, we can do that, but I already assumed you were going into the greenhouse.
Yeah, might as well just go into the
greenhouse. Yeah. Let me do the greenhouse first. Yeah, sure.
The door you notice as you're going in is set in a delicate mithril frame with panes of stained glass around it. As you go in, there is just all kinds of different flowering plants and herbs growing within the garden. One moment. You do see a cloud giant in here. And he is tending the plants. And yes, it is late at night. But he is in here, tending the plants. Let's see. I don't believe, that's mostly it. I mean, because greenhouse with a bunch of plants and herbs and flowers and all kinds of neat.
And last one, just explore the final room over here.
Alrighty. Okay. Needs to go to reveal. Okay. All right, and this is a bedroom of some sort. The bed in this room is empty. There are a couple of very large toys on the floor, not anywhere near as cluttered as the playroom was, but there is a chariot. A quote toy unquote chariot that you figure is probably big enough for a gnome or a halfling to actually ride in. There's a stuffed silkskin doll that's, you know, as big as you are. But otherwise, it's a fairly tidy room. There's a bed on the north side. Along with a bookshelf and a large chest. And yeah, that's about it.
the question to the group, like, should we, I think we are done with the exploration, right? Like, do we regroup and come back tomorrow?
I mean, we finished exploring the outside and like that tower, but we technically didn't go in this like middle section, because what I believe the hypothesis we have still is that the conch that we're looking for, is, we still believe it's going to be at the top of this tower, right? Because that's what Miss Genderless Oracle said. So, if that's the case,
Miss Cleo, like,
we still probably need some kind of plan for how do we avoid all these giants that seem to be all of this giant's tower.
How many have we seen? Three?
We've seen three adults and then the two kids.
Okay.
We've also seen about a dozen Arakocra.
Okra.
Jarnathans.
Yeah, we can kick them out the window. It's fine.
So we're going to leave Lillian on the outside to take care of the bird people. The rest of us will go in the tower.
Are we sure that the Arakocra are alive? That they're not statues or
statues? You've seen them move. I mean, they are behaving as though they're looking around. I mean, you don't know that they're alive, but they are animate in some sense of the word. You haven't done a blood draw to make sure they're
hit a midichlorian count.
You're in midichlorian count.
So if you're and also asking... like I think go ahead, Bala.
Yeah, and also I think there are some invisible people too, so we need to factor in those things as well.
Yeah, you did run into the invisible whatever's.
So I was gonna ask, how much time do we have left on the eye? I think it's good for an hour. So how much time has elapsed in what we've explored?
You've explored quite a bit. I'd say you have a little bit of time left, maybe 15 minutes.
If anything, I would say probably reinvestigate the tower where you guys were engaged with the invisible things and see if any alert has been raised. See what the state of affairs are.
Yeah, I think that's the first thing we did before we came back down to the hallway was sent the eye back in to make sure that the giant was still sleeping. And we didn't see, I think she was still sleeping, right, John? The one at the top? Yeah. So okay. I don't think anything was alerted other than whatever the invisible things were attacked us. And then when we left, we didn't see anything, you know, out of the ordinary. I mean, that doesn't mean there isn't anything. It's just that, you know, our impression is that it didn't trigger an alert of any sort. Because everybody that we've seen since then looks like they're just going about their business.
That was a pretty quick encounter. It's not like you were making a lot of noise. You weren't even fighting them.
Yeah, we were just getting the hell out of there.
Yeah, you got kind of.
We kind of tried to waterboard them, and outside of that, it was a hey, look at our pretty wall of water while you're hitting us, and then we leave.
Yeah, you figure you got a little lucky there.
I'll be honest, magical water always confuses me, because like you raise this water wall and then does everything get wet afterwards? Like, could you fill a pool with your magic? Or does the water also disappear?
I mean,
we didn't stick around long enough to find out. So next time.
It's real water. I'm druid. I'm not mage, okay?
So when
you're conjuring it,
you're still creating water from nothing.
arguably, he's taking the water from the surrounding environment.
To remove enough water from the air to satisfy making a water wall.
Don't question my religion. I'm not sure. Yeah.
So all of that aside, my recommendation is if we have about 15 minutes, do we have time to either send this eye down another floor, which we probably wouldn't have enough time to explore that much, or bring it back up and see if we can see what's in this big dome shaped thing at the top. And then after that, we could
spend some time to just reinvestigate, like not just, I think we just did a quick look around with the eye, like, you know, like an exploring and not like a spend some time in a room to investigate what exactly things are, right?
I mean, is there anything we've ran across that's worth doing a double take? I mean, if we are here to raid the place and try to, you know, steal all their valuables, then I would say a deeper exploration might be worth it. But we're here for a specific item, and we don't know where that item is. And I'm assuming if there was a large conch in any of these areas that we visited, John would have told us. If it was sitting out in the open.
Like sitting right there.
Yeah. But I mean, if it's in its chest or whatever, I mean, we don't expect it to be in these other areas because what the Oracle told us.
Just this old dusty seashell.
By the way, probably a dumb question. Is conch something that's a fantasy thingy, or like is it like an actual?
I'm sorry, you broke up there. What was that?
No, like is it like a artifact kind of a thing? Like, oh, one second. So is it like an artifact, or like you know, like a?
I think it's actually a shell, right?
Yeah. It is a magical item in the form of a very large shell. Let me see if there is actually a picture of one.
A real life conch.
Yeah. That's my question. Like, is that a real life conch? Like, is it like a word?
As far as you're aware, it is a conch. Which is a seashell.
Oh, this is the one. Okay, got it. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay, that did me. It did. Okay. All right. So, yeah. It's a very large seashell. It's like the ones that you see Hawaiian, you know, they blow through it and make a, you know, whatever noise and
yeah,
that sort of thing. Yeah, but this is giant sized. At least you assume.
Okay. Yeah. So we just wrap up the exploration. I do see some dark area over here, like. If you guys want, I could just go around the tower and wrap up the investigation. But I don't believe, like, I think you would have much things over here. Just to be sure, like, John, can I just go again clockwise and wrap up the entire thing, like, and also see what's over here?
Yep. Sure can.
Hey, just out of curiosity, John, the stairwell that goes down from that top level into where we just explored, does that continue, like right here where I'm pinging, does that continue going down? I don't recall if we said if it did or not.
I think it does. Great question. Yes, it does.
Okay. I noticed on the Linamarl whatever handout that it looks like there's floors below. But I'm assuming that's the only really way up or down.
Oh, that's dumb. It actually, I switched to the other map to see, and it actually tells me right on the stupid map.
Down to level 2.
It is exactly what it says. It says down to level 2, comma, up to level 4.
I promise you that is only a good guess, and I have not seen these maps. And I'm not saying that in jest. I have literally not seen these maps.
Now, if you were to ask me something similar about Lost Mines before, then I could
say right. Yeah. Nothing particularly different other than you see a couple of additional Arakocra. Let me check something real quick. Nothing real. Nothing else.
So do a plan and come back tomorrow, or like nothing else we want to explore?
I'm assuming we're out of time on the eye.
Yeah, you maybe have a couple minutes left, but you know,
I'm just gonna use a couple of minutes and go and check out all the pumpkins and just look at this. Like, oh my god.
Yeah, they're just gigantic. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. You figure, like I said, they probably weigh 300 pounds. They're huge. Gigantic. And looking at them, I mean, they could be used as projectile weapons.
I would think the rock piles that are there are kind of like for the giants to throw at things. If they run out of rocks, maybe they'll switch to pumpkins.
It's kind of a balance between size versus density. The rocks are denser, the pumpkins are bigger, you know? So I don't know. It's hard to say. The size of the pumpkins, you never know. Plus the mess. I mean, the mess.
Pumpkin seeds everywhere, all over the deck of our ship. We're slipping and sliding. You know, you wouldn't have that problem with rocks. I think we need to go back, regroup, and figure a non-bardic plan of action.
Non-bardic plan of action. All right.
I agree. All right. Regroup, and then we can discuss what to do next at that point.
Yeah, and you don't have to. The eye doesn't need to return to the need to return to the ship. You just release the concentration on the spell, and it just disapparates. What would you like to do?
Well, we should take a long rest to get Aggie's dimension door spell slots back, as well as restore his back.
Okay.
Yet not hard enough.
And you already have you can certainly fly off a ways, and actually I believe you said you had flown off a ways when you cast the eye, and didn't you move away to be further away because of the limit in time.
So we're effectively, and if we kept moving the whole time, we're basically about an hour away from the castle. Assuming we didn't find some other place like Maybe there's a nice big fluffy cloud that we could hide inside and just, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the bard went and sat down and said, hey, I screwed up royally and got hurt. So you guys figure it out. I'm going to sit here and I don't know what I was doing. I think I was
probably crying. Yeah. Crying.
Bards don't cry.
Don't stop crying.
They sweat from their eyes. big bards don't cry.
Big bards don't cry.
Yeah, I don't want to maybe break out in a song, but I'm not gonna. Y'all can just imagine it.
let's see. I want to check something real quick. All right. You can, certainly take a short rest. Use your standard. I don't even have that sheet up. Where is it?
It's got to be a long rest or no spells for me.
Yeah.
I mean, do we need to put down to take a long rest? I mean,
I thought I had some ship. I had some notes here. There it is. Okay. Are you going to have your own watch, or are you going to let the crew take watch? They're happy to take watch if you'd like.
I mean, I would say let them take watch, and if anything attacks, wake us up.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's fine too.
We'll certainly do that.
That way we can all get below and get a good night's sleep. Especially,
I feel like if we're going to be betrayed by this crew, they would have already done it.
You think? all right. Well, go ahead and somebody, let's say Alan, roll a d20 for me.
Oh, I see. Just choosing whose fault it is.
All right. The evening goes without with no disturbances. You come to consciousness in the morning, and let's see, what is the weather like? Let's see if we have a. Okay, come on, webpage, open up. Random weather generator. Let's go. Thank you.
I'm assuming while you're figuring out the weather, our long rest is complete, so I can reset.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit of chill in the air. Other than that, you noticed you are flying high over a very foggy landscape. That does not affect you guys up here. You are above the fog, But yeah, you do not appear to be hampered by this weather.
Luckily, weather is determined in the morning and never changes throughout the day.
Exactly. Totally. Totally.
So I guess the thing that we need to decide as a group, right, is sneaking didn't work so great. So do we attempt to land and do some convincing? Use our words.
Use your words.
Which realistically means at some point we might have to steal and run. Or do we look for how to, like, given that we now know there's children that they probably like, use them to our advantage.
You're gonna go rant for the kids.
Is it with words or violence? Is all I'm asking.
It is, by the way, mid morning when you guys come to consciousness, because you were doing this late at night. Yeah.
So the question is, do we just do a frontal assault and pick a place to go in? We all kind of go in and try to get the conch, or do we want to do another somewhat stealth-ish where we just wait till tonight and try this again, but as a full group instead of two idiots dancing around getting beat up by invisible things.
I feel like a frontal assault is stupid.
Like I said, this is Bart's planning here, and I kind of want to stay out of it, but...
It is literally a floating castle commanded by the king of the, or queen, of the storm giants, right?
Cloud
giants, right. But like, giants, does it really matter which one? I mean, it does.
Well, I mean, you
but know, like,
details,
not that
details
much.
Matter. Like Reacher said,
I feel like any act of just overt, let's just kill them all, is a terrible idea.
I'm not saying we'd kill them all, but...
How could we even strike at this facility without all of them being alerted? There's literally birdmen all around it.
So there's 12 birdmen that we've seen. There may be more. I mean, we could always come back and continue to every day we cast another eye and keep floating an eye through until we've explored every nook and cranny of this place. But at some point, we're still going to have to decide what are we going to do. I don't know. I mean,
I feel like I am keen to sending a group in, like maybe even landing the ship, signaling our intentions, and then communicating with them, and then always being willing to run. So, like, probably don't send the whole group. Only those who could get out.
I mean, yeah, like, how are we going to get out? I mean, I could take one of us and get out, at least back to the ship, assuming that I'm within 500 feet.
I mean, worst case, if we just, like, hang out, most of the group hangs out at the ship, one person can go with you as, like, a communicator, and then you can dimension door them back to the ship as we leave. Bala stays on the ship, keeps in communication, so that we know whether and when to leave.
So basically you're saying, let's do a replay of exactly what I did before, but just slightly different in terms of how we go about it.
Well, I mean, I'm saying let's actually go in and talk to them.
Well, I mean, I tried to talk to them, but they punched me with invisible things.
You're trying to talk to them? You snuck into their tower.
I didn't get close enough to talk to anybody. You don't know what my intentions were. I was hoping I would find the conch before I had to ask for it, and it would be easy. But, you know, invisible
okay.
fists.
So you're saying
flying.
you were a negotiator, but primarily a thief.
Well. Yeah, I mean,
you know,
that's exactly
things
what Bard
are a little
is,
bit
right?
Odd.
You just described me as a bard. I'm a negotiator and a thief. You know, whichever one happens to work out best in the moment, that's the one I take.
Who just happens to be musically inclined.
Yeah, well, I wasn't good at math or science, so I stuck with the arts.
Well, if we do go in guns a-blazin', how would you do that?
So, if you're asking
the
bard...
So that we know what not to do.
If you're asking the bard, I would say we land the ship somewhere, or maybe not land it, but get somewhere up here. Why isn't that clicking? Oh, I got to hit the right one. So somewhere up here at the very top part, we just fly over the very top, kind of lower it down, drop the ladder or whatever, and you know, one or more of us climb down. It's probably going to get their attention, but we're not going to do anything that would look threatening. So more than likely, I would expect the six Arakocra, or at least one of them, to approach us. You know, if they attack us, then we just, you know, call an audible. But my guess is that that's going to get their attention. Me and one other or more could climb down. If they ignore us, then maybe we just climb down and we go into the tower. But that's the bard's idea, and it's probably not a very smart idea.
There is a front door.
I mean, we could also try.
Oh, is there a front door?
If you look at the...
Oh, on the handout?
Where is...
The handout doesn't really have a front door, does it?
Yeah, yep, well, you know... Okay,
like where the big two towers are at the front?
Find that... the... Yeah.
So the front door is in the back?
Basically, relative to where you are, yeah.
Back, or are we facing the front?
Well, I mean, I can't exactly rotate this picture, so I've only got one angle to look at it. And that looks like the back from this angle.
I'm on the wrong stupid.
If there's more map that you want to show us from outside, then you know, that might help, but we didn't really explore that much more other than what we could see from a distance.
Okay, yeah. I mean, so in the handout, if you see where those two towers are, those are gatehouses, and there are stairs in front of that.
Does it look like there's a place to moor or something to?
Yes, you could actually moor a ship. Let me see if I can real quick bring that up. Because I need to change all the fog of war.
I mean, I'm not against the diplomatic approach. I just don't think it's going to work. But
it may not work, but we may learn something from it at the very least. Like, do we think we're going to be killed on site? Right? Or do we think
killed, it's going to result in a fight? In the gut, maybe. The worst case is they know that somebody tried to break in last night. It's suspected it's us if we magically show up. And they might be a little pissed. So that's the drawback.
Well, that's why I suggested we learn about their reaction whenever we sent the eye in the second time, because I feel like that's probably one of the more important parts.
Yeah, doing a little bit of scouting, you notice there is open area. Let's see. Yeah, so this is like a gatehouse with stairs going down to a little area where you could moor the ship.
Okay.
Yeah, and those two blank spots are where those little like spiky towers were.
Yeah. I don't know if we feel like the diplomatic approach is the right thing, then I'm down with that.
I just feel like worst case scenario, we run away. And running away is probably easier than just going in guns a-blazing.
See, I was thinking we go in and say that we've been trying to reach you about your extended conch warranty, and it's about to run out, and we need to take it away for like a cleaning and maintenance agreement and keep it renewed.
See if they fall for that. The Oracle said that they wouldn't voluntarily part with the conch.
Well, I mean, if they think they're going to lose it for because their warranty expired, then they might. Yeah. I am a persuasive bard.
I'm confident that we're not going to convince them to give us the conch, but I'm also saying, like, learning something by via communication is probably better than just going in and fighting an unknown number of enemies within a fortified castle in the sky.
You want to tell them why we need the conch?
Yeah, even just get their perspective on things. And then we could even use the eye at that point to, like, listen in on their conversations.
Can the eye hear? Because it's not a arcane ear.
Yeah, I think that it can see or hear. Like,
oh, can it?
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know it could hear.
I mean, we fight floating, burning skulls that should neither hear nor see. So, you know, it is what it is.
Never attribute to advanced technology that which can be ascribed to magic.
Magic.
All right, we're going to land the ship here at the front then, and we'll send the stupid bard in to parlay.
I think you're right. Like, I don't think it can hear. I thought it can for some reason.
What does the spell description say?
I can't remember. Does anybody have a invisibility spell?
I do.
Someone has greater invisibility, I thought.
I don't have a see invisibility spell.
Yeah.
But I can turn invisible.
I do have see invisibility, so probably we could just go in and as a team, like, and then somebody can cause a featherfall and then just run from the ship and get down and then...
Yeah, I mean, that's an alternative, right?
Being invisible.
You guys know that you got hit by something invisible. You could just do it again with David and Bala this time instead. And then...
I believe Sanford could be a small animal, but I think we need to detect magic, but we need to... Somehow we need to figure that out.
Oh, you're saying... Yeah, he's got two uses of wild shape. So if John would allow him to fit in one of our pockets so that he would be an item on my person for dimension door purposes.
If you did how small can wild shape be?
Any beast, right?
Be a rat,
maybe like a mouse or a rat.
Yeah, if you made it a very small creature like a rat or something like that, yeah, I'll allow something. Yeah, something that can like fit in a pocket. Nice. I'll allow it.
So if we're gonna do this and go in threefold instead of two, we're sending three roughly squishy people in. Well, except for Sandsward's. Not super squishy, but he's going to wait.
Squishy, just
in mouse or rat form, he'll be squishy, and he has to save another mouse form to be back in my pocket when I go to say I'm getting the hell out of Dodge if that happens. So
true.
That means wild shape is off the table for anything other than getting in and getting out.
But I can be in wild shape all the time in your pocket. I don't need to.
Yeah, but if we need like detect magic or you need a spell for you to cast, so that's kind of why we need to bring you aboard. So you'd have to wild shape, get in my pocket so I can dimension door in, then you can get out of my pocket, turn back into druid form, which gives you one more wild shape to get back in my pocket so I can get the hell out of Dodge.
I can cast detect magic first and then wild shape because that will keep my concentration.
Right, but we've only got, like 10 minutes? Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling that if we start searching around or start fighting or whatever, we're going to, one, need you to help fight, if that's the case, or, you know, something that keeps you out of mouse form.
Yep.
Yeah, and then we have a wild shape into, you know, a brown bear or an elk or whatever would help us fight. We'd have to have you fighting as a druid.
Yep. So, as caster, yes.
And we'd still have the issue of, you know, potentially, I guess with Toth there, Toth could
telekinetically or whatever talk to you in any form. So we wouldn't have to worry about, you know, if you detect something magical in mouse form or rat form, you could let Toph know what you're seeing.
Yep.
But I don't know. I mean, I feel like if we do this, you know, even be able to see invisible or whatever, it's not going to really help us that much. I'm assuming whatever creatures are there, if they're still there, we're going to have to fight them. I don't think they're going to willingly let us just do what we're going to do. Action. Although three of us to fight them was better than just the two of us, especially since we couldn't see them.
Does see invisibility let more than one person see the invisible thing, or just the caster?
I think it's just the caster, but they can. I think they can cast it with somebody else.
Well, fairy fire is the other thing, right? For outlining their position.
But that does have a saving throw.
It does have a saving throw, and they have to be within like 20-ish, I think, a 20-foot square or something. It's not a huge.
You'll know where they are whenever you your chest starts hurting again.
Yeah, you're funny. You know, the other thing is Toph could cast see invisibility on me, so that way when I see them, I can fairy fire them.
It says self, which means I could just do it only on me, right? Like, only if it's touch, I can do it on somebody else. Yeah,
well, then that plans out. But then you can still tell me where they are, generally. No, yeah, it is self-only. Huh.
What do you do it?
I mean, I'm fine with either plan. If we want to try to do another, you know, three-man assault versus the diplomatic approach.
Well, to be clear, like Jeff said, and I agree, I don't think the diplomatic approach is the solution. I think it just opens up possibilities. And maybe one of those possibilities is being attacked whenever they realize we're trying to steal stuff. And so then at which point we just have to barge through the place, right?
I guess the other question is, could we theoretically, I don't say do both, but am I 500 feet away from the point of ingress if the ship was docked at this entrance?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I was going to say, would it make sense to use the people on the ship as a decoy for us to go back inside?
Oh, so you're talking about...
Yeah. But I would need to be 500 feet from where the ship was docked to the tower. If it's farther than that, and I can't dimension door all the way out, I have to dimension door somewhere else and then run the rest of the way.
The tower relative to this is about... think about here. I've got that right.
Yeah, that's what I was measuring earlier. It's like over here-ish.
Yeah, it's basically at the 5 o'clock position, centered on the wall. So right around here ish
where the tower would be.
I can say also whatever vertical component is involved, because there's like
three
floors, and we're going to be down 40, these stairs.
Yeah, I think there are 30 or 40 foot ceilings.
So who's good with three-dimensional Pythagorean theorems?
I'll just say that the edge of a triangle where the base is about 400 to 500 feet is larger than 400 to 500 feet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just doing the math, and it's about 400 feet from roughly where he pinged to the ship. So
400 feet plus the vertical distance is going to be awfully close. So I'd have to say, John, is it close enough or too far?
You know what? I'll say you figure you can, depending on how you approach it. I mean, you could always approach it in such a way that you approach it from a higher altitude and maybe from the south of that, you know, and you could get within 500 feet. Also bear in mind that that's the center of the tower. If you wanted to teleport in or a dimension door into the, you know, into the outer, you know, edge of the.
Yeah. I mean, I've explored the tower and all I got to do is go to a place that I know where I can call out. So I'm assuming that.
You feel like you can do it.
Yeah. Okay.
The only tricky part is that if things go wrong, you can't dimension door back because the ship would be more than 500 feet away.
I mean, only if you leave, I guess, right? Or
no, if we do a drive by and drop you and you dimension door out.
No. I'm assuming that I'll dimension door from the ship being docked in and then do the same thing back.
I think John was saying that's not possible. Well,
I haven't really measured it. So if you're
I feel like it's going to be more than 500. Like if you actually did the math, it's definitely going to be more than 500. 500 feet is honestly not that far.
It's approximately 500 feet.
So the center.
Well, it's like sight in D&D is often based on like in a cave lit by a torch, 60 feet is reasonable, but outside in the daylight, you can see miles.
Yeah.
Like not with, you know, precision, but you'd. So 500 feet becomes a bigger. Confusing point.
So they're 40 feet high, so squared, and then take the square root of that. Actually, yeah, it works.
Cool.
You could do it.
I could do it?
Yeah.
I think I know what this bard wants to do.
So we land and distract them with talking, and you go and explore that again?
What I was thinking, and again, this is Bard plan, we park the boat, and basically somebody knocks on the door or whatever, and see if... I'm hoping that whoever is in that top tower, the female... giant that we saw, I'm hoping it's Countess whatever her name was, and I'd like to see if there's a way where we can get her to come out of that tower to treat with whoever, and then you guys plead whatever to see about getting the conch from her, which she's probably going to say hell no, but while you're doing that, you know, we'll have somebody in that group connected to Toph, so that way we can stay in communication. And once that plan is underway, then me, the rat, and Toph will go into the tower and then explore. And either way, whoever's in communication will let us know, hey, things failed, she's going back, whatever. And then we can kind of go from there. I mean, this is a little bit of winging it, but, you know, at worst case, we'll hopefully be able to see the invisible guys. Maybe we can avoid them. But, you know, we're going to have to kind of explore quickly. But I'm hoping that whatever it is up on the top floor. And if it's at the top floor and we get her out of there, then we'll have hopefully direct access to, you know, for all I know, there's invisible creatures on all the floors. So the plan may be
we're going to have to fight those guys anyway. And if we do, we do. And if not, then worst case, we get out, you know, tell you, hey, things are going south. You know, Tove can relay that and we just get back and then we'll regroup for round three if need be.
I think this is a reasonable plan, but I think... go ahead, Bala.
No, like, I think if we have invisibility spell, I think probably we need to, once we bamf over there, like, I think we need to cast it on ourselves. So then, like, we stay then, right, like, until we are done with
that. I mean, I can't cast invisibility on all of us. I can only cast it on, I think, at most two people. Let me double check.
Okay, I have greater invisibility, but like that's 1 minute still, yeah. But we could, yeah. Anyways, yeah, I'm just thinking of that.
So I was gonna say, what your goal is to make sure that what's her face in the tower isn't there. So as we come into dock, we could pass Arcane Eye again.
Oh yeah, yep.
So as we're flying by to dock, cast Arcane Eye, pick up on that information, see if they're like leave, and if they leave, then you guys go in, and then we distract, come up with some story, and then.
Hey, I've got a mechanics question. Who is seeing when it comes to the Arcane Eye? Does the Arcane Eye see, or does Toph see through the eye? Because the question becomes, if she casts see invisibility or whatever, can she see invisible things through the eye?
You mentally receive visual information from the eye.
Yeah, that's I'm pretty sure it just goes straight to your brain. Okay. In which case, I would say no, you don't. Can't.
Yeah.
It has. Yeah, the eye itself has normal vision and dark vision. Okay. Outbeat.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best plan. So we fly by. So the, I guess the homework here for Jeff is come up with a story. Why are we knocking on the door? I think actually, well, I was gonna say we could probably just be transparent and be like we're.
Yeah, I think we, you know, we want to help get her opinion on the ordering, and yep. If she want, you know, if she's interested in repairing it, then try to see if she'll let us use the conch. And if she's not in favor of the ordering, then we're screwed.
Well, I mean, then we say, all righty then, thank you, goodbye.
I mean, we could always ask her, you know, if she would be willing to help us in some other way. I mean, for all we know, maybe she won't let us have the conch, but she'd say, hey, you know, I can use the conch to take you there. And then that way it's never out of her possession. You know,
except,
kind of like how
except for the part where you guys are actively trying to take it out of her possession. But yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But I mean, if that's the case that she's agreeing to that when we're looking for it, then we just don't steal it. You know, we just teleport back.
Okay. I think that's fair. I think that's the plan. So you guys won't leave until we confirm
that she's out of the. Yeah, we're going to stay
her
on
her absence.
Way. Yeah.
And then you're going to go straight to the top floor, right?
I don't know if I can go straight to the top floor, distance-wise. I think I'd have to go to the bottom floor and walk the way up.
Well, so and you're still going to have to pass the invisible guards, potentially.
Yeah, but they didn't really seem... Well, I don't know. They punched us when we kind of stopped on the stairwell, but I'm assuming that if we go past the stairwell, worst case, they'd have to come after us, but... You know, we're also going to have somebody that can see invisible. So as we go up, we can kind of sneak and see what they're doing. If they act like they're going to attack us, then we can prepare accordingly.
Yeah. By the way, like if I establish a mental connection with you guys to talk to you telepathically when we are walking there? Like, I would lose the connection with Lillian and Thanksgiving.
But why would you need to lose the connection?
No, like, I think if they're going to say, like, hey, if he's going to be coming back, or, like, I think it's time to move, kind of a thing. So we need to talk to
each other, right? Like, I think, is it, are they, are there, is it a,
it's not a concentration, but I thought, like, I need to see them to establish a connection.
Yeah, okay. So it's only like one person at a time.
You would do it before we leave the boat.
But then that means that you can't communicate with Sanswood.
Right? Yeah.
Well, you can, but then she can't communicate with us again.
Telepathic speech is like a creature you can see within 30 feet. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, to initiate.
Well, so do you want Top talking to you or us? Choose one.
No. In this case, talking to the other group would be more important. If there's anything that we need to say, I'm assuming that.
But the reason that Toph is going is to detect invisibility for you, right?
Right.
Yeah, and let you know, right?
But only Toph can see it.
Correct.
Is that enough to spell it?
Toph could still communicate other ways, like tap me on the shoulder and point, you know, and then I'd say, okay, that's where the bad guys are. Cast a spell in that direction or whatever. I mean, if that's the case, then. You know, there are means of communicating other than Toph's telepathy, but in this case, telepathy with the group.
But I thought we're gonna sneak past them, right? Like by being invisible and then just walk through them.
So I mean, if we
don't want to fight them, I guess, like,
right. But we need to know where they are, you know, and then we don't know if they can see us, even if we're invisible or not. You know, so that's the other question is, can you see invisibility and be invisible at the same time?
Yeah, like I can do that. Like, either way,
I didn't know if they're both concentration.
I don't think see invisibility is concentration.
Yeah, see invisibility is not concentration.
Yeah, okay, see invisibility not concentration.
But so Agadir has the fairy fire, right?
I do, but I don't want to use that if we're going to have to fight him.
No. The invisible. Well, so what's the point of the sea invisibility then? So that you can target them.
If they're there, and if there's something else invisible, like maybe a chest that's got a conch in it, if we want to get it.
Well, if you see that they are there, what are you going to do?
Avoid them, probably, but.
But if they attack you, then what?
Yeah, I mean, if they attack us, then we'll have to respond in kind, I'm thinking.
By casting Fairy Fire?
Or getting the hell out of Dodge, one of the two. I mean, if we think the three of us can take, you know, if we go there and we know there were two of them that fought us, but that doesn't mean there wasn't more than two in the room. We didn't stay long enough to get punched by, you know, more than two.
So what are the rules on targeting a spell that you can't see?
I mean, I can target an area. The fairy fire is not targeting a person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's an area.
So
okay.
I draw a square, and if they happen to be in it, you know, because Toph points to the center of where, you know, one of them is. So I draw a square, and if I happen to get one, I get one, and if I don't, I don't. You know, or okay. I wait okay. until they're all close to us, and I fairy fire, you know, the area around us, you know, which means it hits us too, but.
You know, okay, that's... so just to reiterate the plan so that we just execute on it right now. We don't have to talk about it anymore. We're going to fly the ship past-ish the tower, like at a distance. Cast Arcane Eye, send it in towards the tower.
Yep.
Dock. I think the, like, Dragon Knights or whatever their names are, plus Tankrin and I step off and try and get the attention of the giants and
request an audience.
Request an audience. And then based on what the Arcane Eye sees and, you know, any other thing that could happen at that time, you guys teleport or Dimension Door in. And then cast Greater Invisibility then.
Why do they need to be invisible if they're The whole point of the arcane eye was to sense when the giantess had left.
Yeah, but it won't sense these invisible guards that we know are there.
So we need.
So we'll know that the giantess isn't there, but we won't know whether or not
see invisibility, but not why greater invisibility.
Well, they need both, right? That's why it's like we have to stack all of these spells. I think we're gonna like dump pretty much everybody's.
So I can cast invisibility on two people, and my question is if John's letting Sandsword ride in my pocket, if I'm invisible, then he technically is invisible as an item on me, and then I can also cast invisibility at third level, which lets me make me and Toph invisible, and that way Toph doesn't have to waste.
Sandsword is greater. If Sansa is a mouse, he could just come as a mouse, right? Like just a mouse running around the house kind of a thing? Or no? Would that work?
You're still assuming that, you know, he's not gonna be perceived.
I don't really want him out of mouse form unless we need to fight. It's better for him to stay in my pocket, you know.
And not be attacked by a giant.
Worst case, I can put one hand in my pocket, and if Sansword detects something magical, he can bite my finger, and then I could let him out if need be.
You can yank your finger.
This is why bards don't plan stuff. But if we're both invisible and Toph can see invisible, then I'll let Toph take kind of the lead. You know, we could hold hands invisibly, and she could walk up the stairwell and, you know, guide me, you know, and if the things can see us invisibly, then, you know, Toph can, you know, squeeze my hand and let go or whatever, and that could be the signal that we're going to have to attack. And then I can drop invisibility, and she can point, and I can cast, and, you know, the fight will happen.
Yep. And then the whole time, we've got a little detect magic mouse.
Yep.
But if Sandswood detects anything, he's going to have to transform back to communicate it. Or
bite my finger. And I would just know that there's something there, and then I can take him out of my pocket.
You will have to have Sandswood transform back into a mouse.
Yep.
Get on your person, and then you need to dimension door yourself and fall out.
Yeah, theoretically, if it's my turn to dimension door and Sandswood is close enough to us, I'm assuming John would let me interact with an object to grab the mouse and stick it in my pocket as part of my movement action. Does that seem fair enough? Because normally you can interact with an object.
Right.
If Sandwood is willing, I'm assuming being a mouse, he's...
I'll consider interacting with a mouse to be a willing mouse to be interacting with an object.
Yeah. Sure. And then for my action would be to cast Dimension Door, which would be grabbing, you know, Toph with my other hand or whatever, and if that's not too much.
Yep. Okay. So
at worst case, we might have to do that over two turns, but I think we'll be all right if that's the case. I was kind of quick on the getting out of there last time, but we probably didn't need to be that quick.
I don't know. You got hit for like 20 something, didn't you?
Yeah, it was like about a third of my health. I mean, it would have been bad if it would have been, you know, more than two creatures, but
on that note, so outside of sort of the metagaming aspect, do we know it was two creatures? Like, did they have visual confirmation that there were two?
I mean, other than the fact that I got hit with one and Sandswood got hit with the other one once, I don't know if we actually know. We did talk a little bit about, you know, could we detect that something came through the wall of water? So, you know, obviously, if they came through it, they were invisible, but they would have disturbed the water. So I think with all of those things, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, that we
a strong belief that there were two creatures that one attacked me, one attacked Sandswood, just because of like how they came through the water. But other than that, you know, we really don't know for sure.
Yeah, especially you definitely identified, the detect magic identified two entities or two sources of magic that were of the same school.
Right.
And they moved together.
And we weren't far enough into the room to know if there weren't more of them deeper in the room. It's just
yeah, the ones that we detected deeper into the room, there could have been more. Yeah. Could have been 50 of them on either side, but yeah, you don't know.
Okay, well, I think we have our plan, and given that it is 5:59, I think that is probably what we will do.
All right, I will end the recording.